Thank you for joining us at the First Baptist Church of Colerain, Massachusetts. Today, Pastor Jim is continuing his series in 2 Corinthians. It is our prayer that this message will encourage the believer and bring the unbeliever closer to a saving knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ.
This morning, we're moving on to the 6th chapter of the Epistle of 2 Corinthians. We're reading the first 13 verses. If you're using the Pew Bibles, you'll see that that begins on page 1799. 2 Corinthians 6, 1 through 13. As God's fellow workers, we urge you not to receive God's grace in vain. For he says, "In the time of my favor, I heard you. And in the day of salvation, I helped you. I tell you, now is the time of God's favor. Now is the day of salvation. We put no stumbling block in anyone's path so that our ministry will not be discredited. Rather, as servants of God, we commend ourselves in every way, in great endurance, in troubles, hardships, and distresses, in beatings, imprisonments, and riots, in hard work, sleepless nights, and hunger, in purity, understanding, patience, and kindness, in the Holy Spirit and in sincere love, in truthful speech, and in the power of God, with weapons of righteousness in the right hand and in the left, through glory and dishonor, bad report and good report, genuine, yet regarded as impostors, known, yet regarded as unknown, dying, and yet we live on, beaten, and yet not killed, sorrowful, yet always rejoicing, poor, yet making many rich, having nothing, yet possessing everything. We have spoken freely to you, Corinthians, and opened wide our hearts to you. We are not withholding our affection from you, but you are withholding yours from us. As a fair exchange, I speak as to my children. Open wide your hearts also." May the Lord bless the reading of his word to our hearts this morning.
Thank you very much. As you see, we're studying through the second letter to the Corinthians, to the church in Corinth by the Apostle Paul. One of the churches that he established in Greece. He wrote the first letter really in the way of rebuke, but it's basically to teach the church, which is the body of Christ, that's the church, amen, to teach them how to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And this letter is also for our benefit. It's just as relevant today as it was when it was written, because people don't change. Amen? He says in verse 1 that we are God's co-workers together, and we are urged not to receive God's grace in vain. It's only because of God's grace that we can be saved from our sins, to be forgiven by receiving Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. And I hope you have done that. For by grace are you saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It is a gift from God, lest any man should boast. And then when we become a new creation in Christ, having received Jesus as our personal Savior, he equips us, he gives us spiritual gifts. Each one of us has been given spiritual gifts. We've already studied that in 1 Corinthians and gone through each one of those. Some people may have one, some people may have more than one. But whatever it is, you've got to use those tools, those spiritual gifts that God has given to us. We're able now, as believers, to share the gospel with those that are unsaved, those unbelievers that haven't come to know Jesus as their personal Savior, to be his witnesses. So we need to use the tools that he's given us. None of us are guaranteed another day on earth, so it's vitally important to be the Lord's co-workers and to share our faith with those that are lost. So it also encourages here, it says, now is the time of God's favor, now is the day of salvation. And because we're not guaranteed another day on earth, basically, unbelievers are on borrowed time. So it's vitally important to receive Jesus as your personal Savior before it's too late, because once you leave this world, you still, according to Jesus, the Word of God, you're still in your sins. You're condemned already. And Jesus came to set us free so that we wouldn't be condemned. There is now, therefore, no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Amen. So you're either in Christ or you're outside of Christ, but he wants you to come in and be saved. So we need to use those tools, having been saved, whatever gift or talent that God has given to us, for his glory. Amen. There's no point, some of you are familiar with tools, some of you can use them, some of you can't. But there's no point having a toolbox unless you use those tools that's in the box, amen, for the purpose that they're designed for. That's what we've been given, spiritual gifts, and they're to be used, all right? It's like a muscle. What happens if you don't use a muscle? Gets weak, doesn't it? Gets useless. So what's the point of having the gifts if you don't use them? Amen? So there's a job for us to do. Whatever you can do, then do it for the glory of God. It doesn't have to be anything great. It's something as simple as, baking some cookies, which is very nice. I'll eat those. You know, preparing something so that we can all enjoy. It's all for the benefit of the body of Christ, for his glory. Amen. All right, it says, in fact, in Ephesians 2:10, if you go on from Ephesians 2:8-9, we forget about verse 10. What does it say? For we are God's handiwork. In other words, we're his workmanship, right? We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works. Right? Good works do not save our souls, but once we're saved, we are to do good works, which God has prepared in advance for us to do. So there's a job that God has prepared for us to do already in advance. So we need to, you know, walk with the Lord, be sensitive to the Holy Spirit, and he'll show us what he wants us to do. And, you know, if he doesn't, come and ask me and I'll tell you. Because there's plenty of things to do around here that need to get done, amen? All right. We've all been given this ministry. We're all ministers, not just pastors. We learned this in our studies, we've been given the ministry of reconciliation, amen? That means we're able to share the gospel with people so they can be reconciled to God, okay? We're also ambassadors for Christ. We've already studied this as well. We're ambassadors for Christ. We'll get to that in a minute. We can share our faith with anyone we come into contact with, assuming they want to listen. If they don't, you don't force it down their throats. That's the choice that they make. But only you can invite people to church that you come into contact with on a daily basis. You want this place filled, then you need to keep inviting people to church. Okay? Just keep inviting them. Ask them to come. And you never know. They may come, or they may not. But they're not going to come unless we invite them. Only you can do that. I can't. I'll preach to them when they do come. And I'll invite people I come into contact with on a daily basis. And, you know, of course, people will just fob you off and say, yeah, I'll be there. And I thought, yeah, I've heard that before. And they don't come. But some do. Amen. Thank God that they do. So keep on. Only you can invite the people you associate with, because I don't associate with them. You do. Amen. But we're told here to be very careful. It's not really a warning, but in verse 3, that we put no stumbling block in anyone's path so that our ministry will not be discredited. Put no stumbling block in anyone's path so that our ministry will not be discredited. What does he mean? Well, let's explain what the stumbling block is for a start. Anything that can trip people up that are walking on the wrong path. Jesus has been described as a stumbling block, an obstacle, especially to those religious leaders in his day. They were walking on a path they thought was according to God's will. By attempting not only to keep the Old Testament laws and the rituals and the ceremonies, but also by adding hundreds and hundreds of other laws on top of the Ten Commandments. Of course, nobody can keep them all. The problem was they were striving to keep all those laws, which is admirable, but they were doing it in their own strength, which doesn't work. By their own willpower. They were not living by faith through the power of the Holy Spirit. No wonder they were miserable. So when, and there's a lot of Christians like that, unfortunately, they're striving to keep the law, you know, but it doesn't work. We need the power and the aid of the Holy Spirit to help us. Once we do that, then we're going to have no problems keeping the commandments. So when Jesus comes along and he tells them that the path that they're on is wrong, of course no one likes to be told they're wrong, right? And he told them to simply trust in him by faith, because he was the Messiah that they've been waiting for. And they're still waiting for him, but he's been and gone. To simply trust in him by faith. And they refused to believe what he said, and they rejected him. He became a stumbling block to them, an obstacle that they couldn't get around. So what did they do? They had to have him removed. They had to remove that obstacle, that stumbling block, and put him to death. But the stumbling block that Saint Paul is referring to here, he says that we can become a stumbling block to people's faith, especially to unbelievers. Wherever we go, people are watching us, and we claim to be Christians, which I hope we are. And the unbelievers in particular are watching us. And some of them are going to test us as well. To see if our faith in Jesus is genuine or not. You ever felt like you've been tested? So why would people want to change to become a believer in Christ if they see no difference in us? And it's only Jesus that can make the changes for good in our life, amen? So one example of a changed life, and there's many, because you become a new creation in Christ, old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. You're not the same person. If there's no change, there's no conversion. Right? You can't remain the same. once you receive Jesus, you become a new creation in Christ. Amen? We can all give testimony to that. Now, one example of a changed life, and there's many, far too many to go into today, and I promise the message today won't be as long as last week. I didn't realize I went 40 minutes. Shocking. So we'll see anyway. I'm not done yet. I just didn't keep an eye on the clock, and it needed to be said, whatever it was. If you weren't here, you can always listen on the podcast or get the CD. So one example of a changed life is that we get a work ethic. A work ethic. Any of us that have worked in the real world, which is probably the majority of us, apart from some of you that haven't worked in the real world, but you mingle in the real world on a daily basis, the majority of people that are co-workers, not all of them, but a good majority of people, that what they do is they complain about their jobs, and they gripe and complain about their employers, yes? Of course, not when they're around, of course, you know. And they do all they can to do the least amount of work for the maximum amount of pay. Correct? Some of us have been there. I read one example that there was this factory owner, a large factory, and he made a surprise visit and check up on his staff when they were least expecting him to do it. So he's walking through the plant, and he noticed this young fella leaning lazily against this post. And he goes up to him. Instead of him working, he goes up to him and he says, "How much do you get paid a week?" And the man was surprised. He says, "About $300, he said. The young man, and the boss took out a billfold out of his wallet, and he slapped it in the young man's hand. He said, "I take this money and get out of here. You're fired. Here's a week's pay. Get lost. And don't come back." So turning to one of the supervisors, he said to him, "How long's that lazy bum been working for us?" He said, "He doesn't work here. He's just delivering the pizza." So that's the joke of the week. I always try to throw one in, for what it's worth. Okay. So, having said that, we have a responsibility as believers to be good examples. It's not easy being a Christian. It's not. We have a responsibility. Why? Because we represent Jesus as his ambassadors. What a responsibility. Amen? But it says here in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 5 through 8, "Obey your earthly masters with respect and fear, and with sincerity of heart, just as you would obey Christ. Obey them not only to win their favor when their eye is on you, but as servants of Christ, doing the will of God from your heart, serving wholeheartedly as if you were serving the Lord, not people, because you know that the Lord will reward each one of you for whatever good they do." So people are not just watching us, the Lord's watching us as well. So we are to serve our earthly masters in order to bring glory to God, because they look at us and think, "Oh, a lazy bum. That's a great testimony. He claims to be a Christian, but he's idle. That's not a good testimony." Amen? So we don't want to be an obstacle in people's coming to know the Lord. We want to attract people to Christ. Amen? We don't want to repel them by our attitude and our lack of a work ethic. That's just one example. Of course, the Bible doesn't teach sinless perfection. He knows what we like. You know, we're all sinners. We all fall short. We've all got flaws. You know, somebody said, "Well, I'm not going to that church. They're a bunch of hypocrites." Well, there's plenty of room for one more. Amen. God knows we're not perfect. Far from it. But with His help, we can be a positive influence on people for good. As ambassadors and co-workers for Christ, we can be different. We are different. So we can see, so they can see the difference that Jesus has made in our life. If they don't see any difference, how are they going to be attracted? How are they going to be drawn to Christ if they don't see any difference in us? There'd be no point in wanting to change. So, here's a word from the Lord, Philippians 2:15, that you may become blameless and harmless, children of God, without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. So shine your light amongst a crooked and perverse generation. Nobody said that being a Christian is easy. In fact, in 2 Timothy 3:12, it says, yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. That those who desire to live godly will suffer persecution. Have you experienced it yet? In some form or another? If you are, praise the Lord, because that means that you're different from them, from those who are persecuting you. And we need to pray for those people that do persecute us, who say all manner of evil against us, because they did the same to the Lord. Amen? At least we don't have to suffer like those early Christians did. Even in our day, many Christians suffer persecution, imprisonments, threats, and even death because of their faith, simply because of their faith in Jesus Christ. So there is a price to pay to follow the Lord, amen? And not many people are willing to pay that price. Not many people are willing to pay the price to follow the Lord. But who was it? Harry Truman said, if it gets too hot in the kitchen, get out, or whatever. What was it? What's the quote? Does anyone know it? If you can't take the heat, get out of the kitchen. All right, well, a lot of them just throw the towel in when they get persecuted, when it gets too hot, when they don't want to pay the price anymore. Why? Because it's a lot easier to live for self than to live for God, isn't it? Of course it is. So much easier. Any fool can do their own thing, right? That's easy. Living selfishly? That's the philosophy of this world. Me, me, me. We are, you know, talk about the me generation, yeah. That's that attitude, though, only leads to an unfulfilled life. That selfish attitude I'm talking about. It only leads to an unfulfilled life and has no benefit for mankind or has any eternal value whatsoever when you live for self. When you live for the Lord, that makes a difference in this world. It makes a difference in our lives. It makes a difference in other people's life that we come into contact with. And it makes a difference in eternity. Because then we'll be rewarded being co-workers, being ambassadors, being ministers of reconciliation with God. Jesus said, what would it profit a man if he gained the whole world and yet lose his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? And Paul writes, do not receive the grace of God in vain. In other words, follow his example because he followed the example of the greatest role model who ever lived. That's Jesus Christ. So he's teaching these Christians here to follow his example because he followed the Lord's example. He never claimed to be perfect. He wasn't. He called himself the chief of sinners. This is the Apostle Paul, one of the greatest Christians, if not the greatest Christian, who ever lived. But that proves he was also a humble person. But he was also had a problem with pride as well, like we all do. So, like I say, none of us are perfect. We all fall short. And we read in verse 4 and 10 there, not only the blessings he experienced being a co-worker with Christ, but also some of the great difficulties. He said, in great endurance, in troubles, in hardships and distresses, beatings, imprisonments, riots, hard work, sleepless nights, hunger, dishonor, bad reports, regarded as imposters, dying, beaten, sorrowful, poor, having nothing. That was his lot. That was the testimony of Christians in the early church. They really suffered. But Paul and others like him were willing to do it. Why? Because they love Jesus. Do you love Jesus? They love Jesus, and they were willing to pay the price. They were willing to pay any price for his sake. And many did. Many lost their lives. Many today in the third world, they lose their lives simply because of their faith in Jesus Christ. Why? Why were they willing to pay the price? Why do people today pay the price, not willing to recant? Why do they do it? Because they know how much Jesus suffered for them on the cross and the price that he paid for them on the cross. Not only to pay the penalty for their sins, but also to break the power of sin over the human heart. So that's sanctification. We have, yes, we are saved by faith through grace, believing the penalty that Jesus paid on the cross, but we also have the power, the Holy Spirit, that can break any addiction that besets us. The power of sin over the human heart. Jesus has the power to do that. They counted the cost, but they followed the Lord regardless of the circumstances, even though it was extremely difficult at times. But in the midst of their trials and the troubles, they also experienced many blessings, because he testifies to that. Many blessings as co-workers of Christ. And they knew there was going to be so many more wonderful blessings to come, and that they would be rewarded for their faith in eternity because of their faithful service. They were willing to give up so much in order to gain so much more as co-workers of Jesus Christ. A lot of you have heard those missionaries that went down to Ecuador to reach that tribal group, and they were murdered. There were 5 young men, and they just wanted to reach this tribal group for Christ and go down, learn their language, and present the gospel, and they were murdered. And one of them was Jim Elliot. And he used to write a journal, and he wrote, and some of you are familiar with what he wrote, amongst other things. And he was murdered for his faith. And he said, "He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain that which he cannot lose. He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain that which he cannot lose." And Paul himself could write in Philippians 3:8, he says, "What is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things, but I consider them rubbish so that I may gain Christ." They knew there was a price to pay. They paid the price, but they were looking ahead and what they would gain, not only in this life, but also in the life to come. Amen. Okay, let's close in a word of prayer. Again, Father, we're so thankful to be here this morning. We just pray that the message that we've heard will encourage us and remind us that we do have this ministry of reconciliation now, that we're able to share our faith with our relatives, with our co-workers, with our friends, with our schoolmates, with anybody, with total strangers that are willing to listen. Help us, give us the courage, and help us to invite people to church so that they can hear the glorious gospel, so they can be redeemed. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So unless they hear it, they're not going to be saved. And remember that we're ambassadors for Christ. We're expected to be different because we are different. We are a new creation in Christ. All things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And nobody said it's easy being a Christian. It wasn't easy for you. You suffered and paid the price on that cross. But you said in the Garden of Gethsemane, "Not my will, but yours be done." And you went to that cross and suffered excruciating pain in order to bring us to God. And we thank you that you did that. So let us be an example, not just to give lip service to our employers or whoever's in authority over us, but to do it so that you may receive the glory and they can see the difference in our life, so they can be drawn to Christ and say, "Hey, there's something different about that person." And they may come up to you and say, "What? How come you're not like everybody else? How come you don't do this and you don't do that, and you don't say this and you don't say that, and you don't..." And you can tell them, you can share your faith. So help us, give us the courage that we need. It's not easy. But with your aid, we open our mouths and you promise to fill it. And there may be somebody listening to this message, wherever you may be, either on the radio or on the computer, wherever the case. You don't know when you leave this world where you're going. You may not even believe there is an afterlife. You just assume that once you die, you go into the grave and that's the end of it. But that's a deception. And the truth is, you're going to have to go somewhere. You could either spend eternity with God or be separated from him for eternity and eventually be cast into the lake of fire, according to the word of God. You don't want to go there. So believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Call upon his name to save you. Ask him to forgive you for what he had to suffer in your place, so you could have your sins forgiven. Call upon his name, ask forgiveness, and ask him to come into your heart to save you, so you can obtain peace on earth and eternal life in heaven. We ask these things in your mighty name, Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen.
Thank you again for tuning in. If you enjoyed this message, we'd love if you would join us at the First Baptist Church in Coleraine for Sunday morning worship at 11 a.m. We are located at 79 Foundry Village Road in Coleraine, Massachusetts. Hope to see you soon. God bless.